Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. You're listening to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about legends and paranormal stories sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
A little disclaimer, we're not professionals, we're not historians, we just love everything scary.
If you haven't already, which you should have, subscribe to and review this podcast.
Also, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter at Las Brujas Podcast. On today's episode,
we are talking about the well-known, at least in the Hispanic culture, I mean, maybe other people have known him because he was worldwide.
Yes, he was.
He goes by the, well, he goes by two different names. I'll go off of one of the aliases. His name as an alias was Shanti Ananda.
He is a famed astrologer from Puerto Rico, Ponce, Puerto Rico.
Going by Walter.
Walter Mercado.
Yeah, Shanti Ananda meant peace and happiness, just so you didn't, you know, if you just wanted to know.
Oh, I didn't know that. I saw the alias name, but I didn't know it meant that.
Yeah.
So he was known for his astrology segment on Univision that aired during
personality.
It aired during the closing of Primer Impacto, a Spanish news program, for those of you that don't know. He did that segment for 15 years for Primer Impacto, for that specific slot.
Yes.
But he actually had an hour-long show on a popular daytime show in Puerto Rico. And it aired through Latin America and the States. But in the States, it only aired as a late-night show.
Well, that's prime time, don't you know?
But I think they put it on late night because it was Spanish.
Well, that could have been back in the day,
from Puerto Rico. Yeah, because this was before Primer Impacto.
Way back in the
day. This was before he got anything. Because where did he start from?
Let's start way back in the beginning. So Walter was born in March 9th, 1932 in Puerto Rico. Okay.
Wait. I saw something. Did he have 1932 on his birth certificate?
I don't know.
Because he never said his age. And he never showed anybody his birth certificate.
Well, when I was looking up data, it did show this.
Uh-huh.
And so I calculated his age. But in interviews, he always said there was no age.
That's
always
why.
Young. And he's that, you know, that person that always said, oh, I never age.
Yeah.
Age is nothing.
Or he goes, the line he said, oh, the reason why we're talking about Walter, hold on a second. Yeah. We didn't even say why. There's a Netflix documentary about him.
Oh, yes. So spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I don't know if you want to watch this.
The documentary is called Mucho, Mucho Amor. We're going to have tons of spoilers.
That's one of his famous closing lines.
Yeah. The documentary came out like a week ago now.
July 8th.
And yeah, we're talking about not only the documentary, but some other stuff that wasn't included in the documentary.
Yes.
So disclaimer, spoilers ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Continue. So we're going to take it back. So he was well known for being a TV personality, known as an astrologer, but he was also a writer, an actor, and a dancer. Growing up, he did have telenovelas that he starred in before being a well-known astrologer. He starred in two telenovelas that I could find. Larga Distancia was one, and the other one was Un Adiós en el Recuerdo. His dance partners growing up, because he loved to dance, she was Velda González, which now is known as a comedian. But growing up, you know, when you go through college and stuff like that, you have all kinds of, you know, hobbies you want to try. He also wrote a book called Beyond the Horizon. It was published through Time Warner, and it's in three different languages. So if you are one of our readers and want to know a little bit more about him, it's in Spanish, English, and Portuguese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. He did not start off as an astrologer.
No.
A famed astrologer. He started off as an actor?
He did acting, he did dancing, and then, of course, alongside with astrology and being famous, he did write a book.
How did he become an astrologer for TV?
In the documentary, he says a neighbor growing up saw him revive a bird that he found on the floor by blowing air to the bird and telling him he was going to live. The bird then starts to flap his wings and fly away. At that point, the neighbor spread the word amongst the community because he lives in the country, and he became the child that was someone who could like heal you.
Yeah.
So in the community, they would go and visit him. The mom had him in a chair. In his eyes, growing up with his mother, not with his father was in the picture with his older brother, But the mom let him stay more at home, become more experienced with arts, and rather than the being with the brother and the dad and knowing more about, you know, the country and doing things that, you know, men are supposed to do in life.
Yeah, according to them back in the 1930s, 40s.
So growing up, while he went to college, he did go to a TV studio to promote his play at a local theater. And he knew the producer. And as he went to promote his play, the producer had overheard him talking to the staff members asking about their signs. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they were the television company, the studio was supposed to have a guest speaker that was a no-show. So they asked Walter to improvise. And instead of doing the commercial right then and there, because he came up all dressed up, he did an astrology bit.
Wait, he was dressed up as
for his play. They were going to promote his play. So he was in costume and makeup.
He was in costume, makeup. He was like an Indian prince or something, right? For the play. So he was in a get up.
Yes.
And then I saw that they asked him back the next day to wear the same thing and do it again.
Yes. Because at that point, after having that quick little bit with the studio, they had immediate responses from the audience. So after that, Telemundo had offered him 15 minutes with capes. He had to come back with capes. So that's why we all know Walter as the man with capes. Mm-hmm. And these capes can go in any direction.
I love the capes. I love the fashion. I love everything about that man.
So his start date with just that Telemundo 15-minute cape man was August 3rd, 1969.
A day before my B-Day.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't born in 1939.
What do you have? What do you know about his capes? Do you know, like, how many he had?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Do you know how many he had?
I know that some of them were expensive and heavy, but that's all I got.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I like fashion stuff. I mean, I am not fashion, but I like seeing fashion. So when I saw the documentary, when we watched it and I saw the capes again, I was like, oh my God, those are amazing. Those are beautiful. I need to know more. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he had close to 1,500 capes.
Whoa.
And he actually stopped wearing the capes at one point. Because
why?
He was starting to only be known as a man wearing capes.
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes you'll see him in those beautiful suits and not the giant capes that would like eat him.
I would always think when I would see him come on any shows and have a variety of wardrobe changes.
Yeah.
I just thought that was his lifestyle and that it was his just presentation to grab attention.
It was. He said that in the documentary, he says, I am the picture and the cape is the frame. Mm-hmm. So he used his clothes, his cape and everything as like a way to
grab the audience.
Yeah. Get your attention.
And back in the day when we didn't really have a million channels, what did you do? Yeah. Scroll through the TV to find something.
Fix the antenna. Mm-hmm,
when the commercials came through, you weren't going to sit through them.
No.
You were going to find the next best show.
I love those capes.
Yes.
Like when we were sitting there, I was like, I'm going to start wearing capes. This is my intro to capes. if you're not watching the video, I'm just wearing a flannel t-shirt.
And Walter was very outgoing already with his personality.
Yes. He said he used his background as a dancer and how dancers use their hands. And that's why he said people love that. Mm-hmm. So he would use the capes and the extravagant Pops. And his hand movements and the jewelry and everything to help him spread his message of love and peace. Mm-hmm. And he knew that doing all of those things, the capes and the jewels and the hand movements and the like drama would get people's attention. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't getting somebody's attention to sell something to them, right? Mm-hmm. He was just trying to send a message of love and peace the whole time. And I also saw that his capes are very expensive. They're very extravagant. But there's Versace,
ooh,
Isaac Mizrahi, and Swarovski were some of the designers that they mentioned in the documentary that made capes for him. And I remember from the documentary that Puerto Rican cape, because that Puerto Rican cape was everything.
Yes.
And I want to make one.
And it reminded me of the Puerto Rico cape that J-Lo had at the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, since you brought that up, I have an interesting fact. So he had, during his peak, and I think his peak was when he finally got that segment during Primer Impacto. I'm sure it was, that was like his peak, right? Because that's the most memorable thing. Mm-hmm. He was getting 120 million viewers a day.
Yes.
A day. Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl peaks at 99.9 million viewers.
Wow.
He was getting more viewers than people watching the Super Bowl. Yes, because the audience
that he had not only triggered locals from Puerto Rico, it was the Latin community. Yeah. And with Latin community, you had it amongst, spread amongst the U.S.
Latin America. Mm-hmm. The thing about Latin America and then Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic and Cuba and all those places. Mm-hmm. He was huge.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Mm-hmm. So if you watch the documentary, if you haven't seen it, you are introduced to Walter's assistant. Oh, his beloved assistant. I love him so much. His name is Willie Acosta.
Oh, Willie.
They met sometime around 1969 and they just clicked. Mm-hmm. He was by Walter's side for 50 years as his assistant. And he did everything for him. Everything from taking him shopping, going to a movie with him, being there with him, taking care of his dog. He did everything for him. And not just everything, but he says on the documentary, "I protect Walter from anything, from everything. So don't get too bitchy with
him." That was so cute.
So yeah, not only did Willie assist him in his everyday life, he protected him.
Yeah.
He did not allow any like negative energy or bad news or bad people around Walter. He had that guy like as a protector, as a blessing for him. Because
they said that Walter said that he was part of the familia.
Yeah. So in the documentary, Willie clears up that their relationship was purely business and family type business. Like he was a brother to Walter because a lot of people thought that they had a romantic relationship. And Willie was like, "I've never touched that man with a finger unless it was like to fix his outfit."
Yes.
That's it.
But they've slept in the same room. He went everywhere with him. So it kind of led you to believe that, but cleared it immediately.
Yeah, they were like brothers, like best friends, except that Willie was an assistant, but they were best friends. There was nothing more to that. I would like to see, hopefully, Willie write a book.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I want to know all the tea, everything. I don't want to hear bad stuff. I don't want him to like expose. No, I want to hear the good stuff. I want to hear about their life together. Mm-hmm. And I want to know about the fashion and just all the good stuff that the documentary didn't cover and what the people might not know. Mm-hmm. Because if you try to look up anything in regards to Willie, there's nothing.
He's a ghost?
He's a ghost. He has a Facebook page. He posts twice in like the past 5 years. And the last two times were in memory of Walter.
I wonder, because in the documentary, they do show a clip of Willie with Walter, with a little child and a woman on this side, but a woman on the other side. And I wasn't sure if that was maybe his significant other.
That's what I thought too. There's nothing on Willie. Nothing. Okay. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out.
But I know he did have, he helped make his capes.
Well, he helped. Yeah, like he helped. But I think he was, I don't think he designed it and made them, but I think he helped like fix
keep
them.
Keep them up. Upkeep.
Yeah. And like, you know, do assistant jobs, iron, steam.
Yes.
But then again, I don't know because there's nothing on Willie. So that happened. They met, what did I say, around 1969?
Yes.
And yeah, he was by Walter's side.
And as Walter started to blow up with the audience, someone that came into his life was came in for an actual reading. His name was Bill Bacula. In the early 90s, let's go back a little bit.
Before we get into the last part of what we want to talk about, about Walter, we're going to do
the Spanish word of the day.
Spanish word.
Come on, y'all. We got like five words in.
Five words. Come on. We're going to build this vocabulary. Yes.
And in the theme of our topic today, the Spanish word of the day is
astrology. Okay. Astrology, astrologer, astrologist.
Okay.
Right? So we're going to, what they called Walter, an astrologer. Astrology.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Okay, yes. Ready? I'm going to try it.
Yes, you're going to try it. Because I said, and the Spanish word of the day, you said astrology.
What? Because I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to say it. Astrologo.
Astrologo.
Astrologo. Jesus Christ.
All right, everybody. Practice it at home, okay?
Astrologo.
Astrologo.
For masculine and
astrologa.
Astrologa. For feminine. Okay, so now you know what that means.
Yes. You know, I don't really know if people now are really involved with horoscopes.
Are you kidding me? I told you it's still a Univision and they do it every day.
Well, yes, in the Latin community, yes, because in the documentary he just, you know, he was gone. So someone had to keep up that. But in general, I know growing up, I at least had aunts who would know a lot about signs and talk to me about, you know, balances and making sure compatibility and stuff like that. But I don't know if kids or, you know, Gen X, they talk about things like that. What's your sign?
It's huge. And they're way more into it than I ever thought anybody could be. They talk about your moon sign, your sun sign, your sign. If you're mixed with another sign, you have like a moon rising and a sun rising. And like there's a whole
back in 2010, thing. Though, they supposedly added a horoscope into it. So instead of it being 12, it was 13 in 2010. But then it went back to 12. It was like they kicked Pluto out and said, forget it.
I was just thinking that. I was like, are you talking about the planet? Because I know Pluto goes back and forth. I didn't know that. I know that astrology right now, it's huge. You gotta follow the right people.
Yeah, right?
But anyways, that is our Spanish word
of the day.
Back to Walter.
Okay. Go
ahead. We're going to talk about... There's always an antagonist and a protagonist. So here we go.
In 1982, Bill Bakula started to produce and promote a variety of programs anywhere from religion, news, politics, artists, art. I mean, anything and everything. He had his foot in the door already. So when he had his reading with Walter, he discussed his future, what he could do to help him grab more of an audience. Bill introduced Walter to ambassadors, presidents, leaders.
Yeah.
He opened the door to the extravagant life. Walter, being the good person that he was very naive and saw Bill as a person that was sent to him as an angel.
Kind of like Willie, right? His nieces.
And was immediately connected with him. And whatever Bill asked of him, he did. He was never one to say no.
Yeah, really talked about that in the documentary. He always went, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He never really declined an opportunity because in Walter's mind, it was for him to help his people in any way that he could. So.
But something important that they mentioned is that an artist is not a business person. An artist is always focused on their art and is always focused on how to make their art better. They are not savvy in business, which is a fault sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So when Bill offered to become one of his lead points when it came to the business side, Walter agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they created a show. The show was called Walter Las Estrellas.
Oh, yeah.
It was 30-minute readings. And Walter had already had a fan base because he was promoting astrology on the radio, doing his bit already on TV.
Mm-hmm.
He was also doing readings in newspapers and magazines.
I saw he was writing a column for People in Español magazine.
Yes. And for him, his fan base was already growing. So Bakula found it more beneficial if they created a 30-minute segment called Walter Las Estrellas. And then in the 90s, started a psychic hotline where psychic friends in his network, meaning he had 4,000 psychics.
There was 4,000?
In their first year, half a million subscribers. And the rate that they charged for 500,000 subscribers was $19.99. So it blew out the water. And it wasn't the 1-800 numbers. It was the 1-900 numbers.
Yeah, that's weird. What does that mean?
I always knew 800 numbers were toll free. Yeah. So I don't know if in
that's
the...
Okay, so 900 numbers charge.
I'm only thinking that that's what it was for. And because Bill Bakula had already had... He knew telecom companies. Mm-hmm. This was profit for them and profit for him. So again, Bill was always the one to have one step ahead. In order for Walter to connect his fans, he promoted it through any talk show. So through the general public, he started going on to different talk shows. There was a Sally talk show. He went on
Sally Jesse Raphael, live with Regis and Michael. I mean, yeah. Kelly and Michael. It was Regis and Kathy Lee. Yeah. Then it was Regis and Kelly. Then it was Kelly and Michael. Now it's Kelly and Ryan Seacrest. Mm-hmm. And there was another one he was on.
It was there was two Spanish shows that he did that they put in the documentary.
And Howard Stern and Cristina. Mm-hmm.
Cristina was it. Yes. And amongst him having his positive promotions of what he had, the promoters, he also had other people who questioned his sexual life.
Yep.
His preference. Mm-hmm. They made fun of how he was, how he carried himself with his readings. And Walter never really took it as a negative impact towards him. He just kept helping out. We're going to fast forward a little bit and I'm going to tell you what happened. What happened after the growth and popularity and famousness of Walter? In 1995, Bill told Walter, I have a contract for you. I need you to look it over and sign it. Walter, being the person that he trusted Bill, had his lawyer asked him to look at it and review it. His lawyer said everything was fine. Go ahead and sign.
The lawyer obviously didn't read it.
I'm only assuming that the lawyer thought profit.
Or that.
Or he was aligned with Bill.
He was in cahoots with Bill.
So Walter signed this contract on June 7th, 1995, signing away his own life with Bart Enterprises. It's pretty much Bill's company. Mm-hmm. So anything that Mercado had with his growing, I guess, fame, it was all pre-existing materials all the way to future. And the time period of this contract was never a dead end time.
Indefinitely.
It said universe on the contract.
Well, I think the universe meant everything that has to do with Walter. And then the term that they use is indefinitely, isn't it?
No, it's
for eternity.
It said for the universe. And that's why I was like, well, how could that even be correct in a contract?
That's what I don't understand. How can a contract telling you that you're going to sell yourself and everything you own, but not only
including
that,
including his name,
your name and yourself, how can a contract like that be legit? I would think that any judge in this world would be like, this is a ridiculous contract. I would not honor this.
And not only that, I mean, if someone that you care near and dear for, that you're close with, is offering you a contract, what did they say to you?
Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be in that contract that you were like, okay.
That or just have your lawyer look it over and that's it. Like not even have that sense of like, you really need to look at it.
Like morals and ethics.
And Bill also, in the documentary, Walter says that Bill would pretty much keep 20 bunches of white roses in his room. So wherever they had the show aired, it was always there. So everything that Walter saw with Bill beforehand, before being an actual business partner with him, was a facade.
Yeah, it was like he was grooming him to do something malicious to him. It was like trying to sweetening him up.
After that contract was signed, Bill sold old material and recycled a lot of his horoscopes and used them as current. And after Walter finding out what he was doing, because Walter wasn't always next to Bill after that point.
Yeah.
He had all kinds of gigs everywhere.
Yeah.
So after finding that out, Walter knew that it would be discrediting him. Mm-hmm. And what he was to everyone.
Yeah, to put his name on recycled content.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And in this contract, it said anything in his possession, he could use indefinitely. So Bakula, being a very busy businessman, had over 800 concerts and it was growing. He had artists like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Gloria Estefan, Pearl Jam, Tito Puente, Metallica. He was very much busy and avoided Walter. So in 2006, when Walter pretty much had his what do you call it? Like, he was done with everything. Mm-hmm. His family members started getting involved with the legal, the legalities. Well,
he stopped getting paid too. Walter had had this contract, and he had all of these things that he was supposed to do to fulfill the contract. And he was continuing to do all of these things, mm-hmm. whether it be appearances or, you know, TV, whatever he had to do, show up at radio shows and talk shows. He was fulfilling his end of the contract, but Bill stopped paying him. Mm-hmm. And when you go from having a private jet and a limo pick you up and 20 dozen roses in your room everywhere you go to not even seeing a paycheck, his family, Walter's family, got involved and was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. After you signed this contract, everything started to go downhill.
Walter had six nieces, and they're in the documentary, and they were very much involved when everything started to turn upside down.
Yeah.
So in 2006, the battle with Mercado versus Bart began. This trial or case or hearing lasted 6 years.
Yeah.
Walter fought for anything and everything that he could. That's where this name in the beginning that I had said, Shanti Ananda, came in, because at one point Walter tried to change. After the money stopped coming in, he called it quits on being on television.
Yeah.
Just stopped. Tried to cancel the contract. And after realizing that he couldn't, he tried to change his name, took him to court. At first, it was denied. And then they went into another trial. And the jury granted Bill Bakula. They awarded him with nothing because he was suing Walter for $14 million.
Yeah. In the documentary, he said that he sued him for $1.
Come on.
Lies.
Mm-hmm. So he was awarded just that. That the case was done and Walter was awarded back everything, all of his rights, his likeness, his image. Mm-hmm. He could use his it for name. Whatever it was. Yes.
He had his name back. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. 2 days after the trial ended in 2012, Walter had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And they think it's because he was heartbroken because of Bill.
Yeah, because everything was finally final.
Yeah. And 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a long time.
It was very hard on him. And in 2007, Bakula created Astrolottos. They were themes such as tarot cards, Chinese zodiac numerology. Because Bakula, being the businessman as he was, had his foot in the door with everything, he created slot machines that promoted Walter.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Point of sale terminals, lottery, all that stuff. He still profited off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Walter, at least during that time, that was 2007. So this was just when the trial had just begun.
Yeah.
So anything he could possibly get his hands on with him still being under contract.
He was doing it.
Yep.
He was taking advantage. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that there are people out there like that. Like, how much money do you need?
Mm-hmm.
How much money do you need to live a fulfilled life? Because to rob somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. You're heartless.
Very heartless. Mm-hmm.
It's all a part of the game. Now, I did do research because in 2019, I said, you know what? I wonder what his net worth was. And that was the last time that they reported his net worth.
Mm-hmm.
$10 million.
Who?
Walter.
Walter, that was his net worth?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, Louise.
Mm-hmm. And with this documentary, after it being released, I read an article that said, Bill is suing for $10 million.
No.
Mm-hmm. Walter.
Wait, what? Mm-hmm. That's so... What did he do to him that he is so spiteful towards Walter?
I don't know, but in the articles, I mean, Walter made it seem like he had no... He was androgynous.
Androgynous.
Mm-hmm. And he was a virgin all the way until the 80s.
Walter said he was still a virgin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Walter is the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm. And he was the... what's that movie where the guy gets old and... Or he's born old and then he's goes young?
Darius Gray. Dorian Gray. Something like that.
Benjamin Button.
Oh, Benjamin Button. But I think there's the real guy's name is Dorian. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Benjamin Button's a better source or better. I'm tired. It's late.
So Walter actually has a museum in Miami.
But wait a minute. So wait, Bill, we don't know why Bill hates Walter so much because it feels like Bill hates him. He tried to say in the documentary that he was suing Walter in court when Walter was trying to get his name back, that he was suing Walter for $1 because he wanted to continue the contract, yeah. right? And now you're saying Walter was worth $10 million, now he's suing for $10 million. Like, why? I don't understand.
I think that there was some type of relationship that happened that just went sour. And in order to defame or take something away from someone.
That is really, really, really revengeful. Like evil revenge.
It was already planted in the contract. You're citing all of your rights, including your name, to me. I own you.
Yeah. Everything
you are. The intent was there from the beginning.
It's like, I have to pay you for everything you do. How is that? That is ass backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I remember being so mesmerized by Walter watching him on TV. And now as an adult, I know why. He is very androgynous. You don't know if he's a man. You don't know if he's a woman. He is fluid in between and in both. Mm-hmm. And I think that's was something that I was attracted to because I do not go by societal norms when it comes to sexuality. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And also he was so eccentric with the capes and the jewelry and all that. Mm-hmm. But it was never in an obnoxious way. I never felt like Walter was trying to sell me something, right? Mm-hmm. It always felt like he was coming from a good
place,
yeah. a good place from mm-hmm. his heart. And that's crazy to have that emotion evoke within you from seeing somebody on TV. Mm-hmm. And Troy even said it too. A lot of people, he compared it to Freddie Mercury from Queen. Mm-hmm. There was something about Freddie Mercury when you saw him, whether it was at an interview or on TV or performing, there was something about Freddie Mercury that you were just like this emotion. And Freddie Mercury was also not very androgynous, but he was, I think, fluid in his sexuality. But the thing is that neither of them ever had to come out mm-hmm. because there was a guy in the documentary and he said in Spanish, si lo que ve, no se, like,
no se pregunta.
No se pregunta. So if you know somebody is whatever,
you don't question it.
It's mm-hmm. just what it is.
That was your translation.
Yeah, that was a translation. Obviously this one's better with Spanish than I am, but it's true. It's like nobody questioned, I mean everybody questioned Walter's sexuality, but yeah. he never addressed it because he
it was a simple to. Like response that you didn't even need to keep asking or keep poking the bear with that.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much said, my sexuality is the air, is the wind.
He felt like he didn't need to address it because mm-hmm. he was just him.
Yeah.
Fully him. And in an interview, a more recent interview with Jorge Ramos,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jorge from, what does he do on the weekends? Al Punto on Sundays. My dad watches it every Sunday. So he asked him, he asked him about his sexuality again. I don't know why people are so hung up. Obviously, Walter was not straight person.
I think also he never really had a partner in the public eye.
No, never. He never talked about his romances. So his
private life was private.
Completely private. He never talked about it. He never addressed it. Never. So Jorge asked him about his sexuality. He said, and this is what Walter said. Walter said, end quote, the people want to know, is Walter straight, homosexual, metrosexual, bisexual? I don't care, he said. Here I am. I am who I am. That's it. And like I said earlier, that's just what I got from Walter. Mm-hmm. That's just who he is. You don't need to question it. And he's not coming at you maliciously. He's not coming at you with ill intent. That's just Walter. And it's like, I think that's why a lot of people were so mesmerized and like wanted to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
He had no secrets.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. It was all there for you.
Mm-hmm.
He was unapologetically himself.
In OprahMag.com, Bacuola defended his actions in the documentary, saying both parties understood the contract and he got paid.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So he got the 10 million, or he got the 14 million? Bacuola was defending his statement with the contract that was presented to him and signed
mm-hmm.
because Walter had his lawyer look at it and his attorneys obviously reviewed everything too. He's trying to defend his statement saying that there was nothing that Walter wasn't aware of in the contract.
But to think I don't care who you are, if somebody, even if the contract was there, for somebody to even write up a contract saying, I'm going to own you,
mm-hmm.
that's malicious.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, I don't care what Bill says. I don't like him.
So after the documentary aired, Bakula has had numerous accounts on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they pretty much say, so one of them, the response was, well, not even a response. He just tweeted after the documentary was released. It was a quote from Oscar Wilde. The truth is rarely pure and never simple.
That was what happened. Something happened and Willie is going to tell us.
And another one, again, not sure if it was somebody, just an alias or him using it. It's from Robert Molano. People see what they want to see, and what people want to see has never has anything to do with the truth.
So then tell us, Bill.
Yeah.
Tell us. There is no gag order, right? Just tell us. We ain't scared.
I know. And that's why when I found the article for on Oprah magazine, I was like, all right, this is time for me to hear his side of the story because I wanted to see what it was.
Yeah.
But he's a businessman and he is not going to open that can of worms.
That Pandora's box.
Because he's had so many people. I mean, he was Bill Clinton. He did, political campaigns and stuff like that. So
who cares?
He doesn't want to tarnish his name or his company.
But people who are
and I was surprised he actually went on Netflix.
Me too, right? That they have interviews of him. Uh-huh. What did they
tell? So that's why I'm thinking, okay, so you, I get this whole, people see what they want to see and what people want to see has nothing to do, has never has anything to do with the truth. Social media changes things.
That's true.
I mean, even reality shows.
Yeah.
People who are recording, they can say all these things, but it's cut and edited just to grab the audience.
Oh, yeah. They filmed that documentary. You know how long they filmed?
No.
2.5 years.
When was it filmed?
Shoot.
I was so excited to watch this documentary all the way until the end. All the way until the end when they told me that they had a museum. He showed the museum.
Walter was an astrologer for 50 years. It was a long time. And he was on Primer Impacto for 15 years. And then when his name got stolen from him, he was MIA from the public eye.
Dropped.
For 10 years. Mm-hmm. 10 years. And he finally made his first public appearance after 10 years when this exhibit in Miami opened. Right? And it had all of his capes. It had statues. It had
his photos, jewelry.
His jewelry. Mm-hmm. And
Dedicated to him.
And he was so happy when that happened.
Mm-hmm. He didn't really, I mean, I think he realized how much of an impact he was because even in the documentary, he said, people just wanted to touch me.
Yeah.
But even him being out of the loop for that time period, he was surprised and humbled of how much people still believed in him.
Yeah. Because I'm sure every artist goes through that when you fall off the face of the planet for a while and you want to come back because you know people still love you, but you always wonder how many people are going to show up.
Yeah. Or what if no one shows up?
Is it just my family that's going to show up?
Yeah.
But when this museum opened, they were at capacity. People could not get in. Mm-hmm. People were waiting outside for hours. People still love him to this day.
Yes. I saw a tweet, a hate tweet. Mm-hmm. Where is the angry mob to cancel Bill Baluka on behalf of Walter Mercado? Seriously, right?
Where's the hashtag?
Right?
But unfortunately, how long after the exhibit? I want to say 3 months. In a short time after the exhibit was open, Walter unfortunately passed away from kidney failure.
Yes.
And he is no longer with us.
Back in 2019. I think it was November 2019.
And the thing opened in March, I think?
I think
so. April, May, June. That was 8 months. Okay, maybe we're off a little bit.
I think it said November 2019, but I calculated the age.
Oh, okay, yeah.
66.
No, he wasn't 66. He was 88.
Lady, what math are you doing?
I saw that he was 88 when he passed.
No. He told everybody maybe he was 88. 32 to 2019?
Let me get my phone. No, wait. I don't have my phone. I have to look it up on the calculator. No, he wasn't born in 32.
Yes, lady.
Hold on. We got to do math. 87. Your math is wrong.
Dang, my math was wrong. Sorry, guys. Don't ask me for math.
He was very old. Dang, he was 87.
Well, you couldn't really tell either. He kept dyeing his hair the same color.
I know.
I thought that it was natural color. I was like, he can be dyeing his hair for sure. Yeah,
during the documentary, Nicole's like, that hair has been on point since the beginning.
Yes. There's no roots, no nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Not one root.
Or damage. I mean, you can't really tell because his hair was short later on. But I mean, the excessive blonde treatment or the lightning treatment strips your hair away.
It was so fluffy. Mm-hmm. It looked so, like, soft. He wanted to touch his hair.
Yeah. So Bill is still alive and well. He currently has, where did I put it here? He focuses on web-based products, services, gaming, nutrition, high-tech security, and all that jazz.
Scammer, guys. Mm-hmm. Don't buy. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in charge of all those MLM companies.
Oh, my God.
The pyramid schemes.
Yeah.
Be careful, guys.
Mm-hmm. But he's MIA. He appears to be on LinkedIn. He's working as a concert promoter, yeah. Bringing musical groups to Cuba. Probably on hold right now.
Probably. Whatever Bill does, here's a message from Willie about Walter. He says it during the documentary. So if you've seen it, this is a replay. If you haven't, maybe this will help you wherever you are in life. So Willie says, Walter always takes a pill called an I don't care pill. And I started drinking that pill too. And I think we all need to start drinking that pill.
Yeah.
Like I said before, Walter, his message was always is to love, to have peace, accept people even if they are not like you.
Mm-hmm.
And to just always love, because
peace and happiness is what you need to prosper in life.
Yeah, especially during these times in our era where, geez Louise, we're going through a lot right now.
We are.
He says in one of his episodes, love is the reason to live. And it's very true. We see when there is no love and there is no peace and there is no tranquility, we see how many bad things happen to this world.
Humanity in itself is not where it should be.
Because people don't even act humane with each other. We see it so much now, especially because of social media. It's right there in our faces every day.
It's right in our faces. Everybody is aside from the fact that we have to be socially distant, socializing is now different.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
But you want to have happiness and love and peace in your heart, in your mind. Take that I don't care pill, tea, shot.
And not I don't care and not be humane about it. Like, still have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It's the I don't care pill because there will always be somebody out there trying to tear you down and trying to hurt you.
Let them go.
Let them go. Accept them for what they want to be,
mm-hmm,
and keep it pushing.
Yep. Don't get bitchy or Willie's coming.
Let's finish with Walter's most famous closing saying.
Mm-hmm. Con mucho.
Mucho.
I don't know the signs. The
hands. He goes, con mucho, mucho amor. Oh, yeah.
Amor, yes. I know the kiss, but I don't know all of this.
Yeah. So it's with much, much love. He always ended everything he did with much, much love. Mucho, mm-hmm, mucho amor. So, yes, that is our episode for today. It's all about Walter spreading love.
Yes. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you haven't seen the documentary and listened throughout our whole spoiler, please go and see it. Maybe it'll interest you in seeing. I don't know if there's any of his videos anywhere.
YouTube for sure. I'm sure you'll find something out there. Oh, the documentary, though. Definitely watch it. Even if we spoiled a lot for you, and the documentary is definitely worth watching.
It'll let you relive, if anything. People who have seen or haven't seen the documentary but did grow up with Walter, mm-hmm, you'll relive and reenact all the memories that you had in the past.
Yeah.
This wraps up this episode. Subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast, on Twitter at Brujas Podcast, and on YouTube at Las Brujas Podcast.
Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories, we would love to read them.
A question for you. Did you watch Walter Mercado when you were a kid?
Con mucho, mucho amor.
Did you watch the documentary?
Join us next week.
Bye.